Hey, welcome into Stone Cold Stros. I'm Brandon Strange. I'm joined by Josh Jordan. Follow him on X at JoshJordan975 and read his work daily at sportsmap.com. You know, we can't always hit the breaking news here on this channel, so make sure you're following SportsMap on Facebook or Twitter because Josh has all the immediate reaction there. Josh, it looks like there won't be any big splashes coming now that Blake Snell is headed to San Fran. Astros will need some internal options to step up. So let's talk about wild cards. The most obvious one is the one who we just got an update on, Jose Urquidy. Sidebar here, I think it's funny listening to national commentators talk about our local teams. For instance, I was watching the John Boy preview of the season. He was talking about the Astros, and they had Urquidy penciled in at the number three spot in the rotation, not realizing, obviously, that Jose Urquidy is shut down from pitching for at least 10 to 15 days while inflammation in his forearm subsides. But that is good news relative to what it could have been. We know that. We do know now from Jose himself that the results of the MRI showed no structural damage to the UCL, and that was reviewed by apparently multiple specialists. So Josh, I have that as my first wild card. Urquidy has one of the higher upsides because he's a guy who just this last season gave you quality innings in the postseason.
He did. Urquidy's been that guy. He's been pretty good in the postseason in a lot of different opportunities. He's a big game guy. The moment doesn't seem like it's too much for him. It's just he's also a pitcher that's been injured a lot. You know, there's really no getting around that. Last year it was the shoulder. This year it's the forearm. The timing of it is just unfortunate because you already got Verlander. You know, he's down for a while. JP France, they're hoping he'll be ready, but they're not quite sure. So they're really counting on Urquidy. And you know, I'm kind of curious. Dana Brown thinks he'll really only miss, he's only about a month behind. He'll miss maybe a month, which if we look at that now, it's, you know, the 20th of March we're recording this on. You know, if he's back at the end of April, then great. But also, you know, I listened to the Astros manager the other day, Joe Espada. He did a podcast hit, and he was kind of hoping on the bright side that he'd be back mid-May. So I wonder if maybe he was just kind of being a little more conservative, or if he hadn't gotten the full update yet on Urquidy's, you know, medical evaluation. But I mean, I'm going to kind of go with that, because if you have to shut him down for, you know, 10, 15 days and then build him all the way back up, I think mid-May does sound about right. So how are they going to tread water during that time? And you don't want to rush him back, right? Because if you do that and then he has to miss more time, then you're really screwing yourself even more. You need to be careful with Urquidy here, because this is a year where I think you need him more than ever.
You're absolutely right. I think we may see sooner than later a guy like Spencer Arrighetti also play into this, because we just don't know how this bullpen is going to play out. We don't know who's going to be needed for long relief, who's going to get pulled into starting roles. So a guy like Spencer Arrighetti may come out of nowhere. We've seen Dana Brown talk about him. I think sometimes he does like to be very optimistic, whereas a guy like Joe Espada seems to be dealing from a place of under-promising and over-delivering, right? But yeah, I think a guy like Spencer Arrighetti could also play a key in being a wild card on this team faster than we may think.
No doubt. And could he do something like JP France did for the club last year? Well, if he's going and pitching really well in AAA like JP France was, then great. And then you pull him up if you need him. If not, then you're going to go with some other guys, you know, like Brandon Belak's out of options. I think that's going to be a guy that's going to make the club. I just read Brian McTaggart's article. They were telling him, hey, we're going to use you in relief, but in case stuff happens in spring training, we might have to change your role again and stretch you back out. And here we are. They've done that with him. Belak is back to being ready to be a starter if called upon. His last outing, I believe he threw 62 pitches. He is building back up, and they're probably going to need him for that. I wanted to get into him for just a second since I brought him up. In that same article from McTaggart, he said what he's working on this spring is throwing more first pitch strikes. So last season, from that same article, they said of pitchers with at least 50 innings pitched last season, Belak was second to last in MLB with 51.1% first pitch strikes. And you look at Belak's stuff, he needs to be more like a Greg Maddux kind of guy, where you just try and get that first pitch strike, you know, bottom of the kneecap, outside corner. And if they hit your pitcher's pitch, fine. That's the first pitch. If you don't want to see any more pitches and you want to swing at that, cool. One issue, though, is, you know, it's spring training. We don't put too much into it, but his ERA is over 5.5 this spring. So he might just be an option you have to go with because he's a healthy arm and available for you.
He pitched 15 games for the Astros last season, had a 3.83 ERA. If you can get that from him this season, especially early in the season when you're waiting on JV and Urquidy to get back, and you mentioned it, it's that low percentage of first pitch strikes. It's right there with Christian Javier, who has a very, very low percentage first pitch strikes. You've got to get that turned around. I think another guy that's going to be very interesting is another one of these guys in the system, Joey Loperfido, because he's tearing the cover off the ball right now in the Grapefruit League. Grew up in Jersey, attended Duke, and is at spring training as a non-roster invitee. The scout that recruited him to Duke, his name's Josh Jordan. So I feel like the guy sounds like he knows what he's talking about. There's something there because he's a left-handed bat. You don't really have a whole lot of those on this roster. And I don't want to beat a dead horse here. We talked about John Singleton and why he's still on the roster. I'm a fan of John Singleton, but he's just not a guy who's just been capable historically of putting bat on ball. He's a good patient hitter, seems to have a good eye, might be able to work some walks for you. But as far as being able to like string together a number of hits, it just doesn't really seem to be in this guy's repertoire. We don't know what Joey Loperfido is yet. We'll have to see. I think what's interesting, Joe Espada said everybody that's still on the roster right now has an opportunity to make the big club. Joey's one of those guys.
He is, you know, Singleton, he's out of options. So if they get rid of him, then, you know, he's open to go somewhere else. But I'm just kind of like, he's had so many opportunities. Is that the worst thing in the world? You know, if he moves on, if it hasn't happened yet for him, is it ever going to happen is what I'm kind of thinking. You know, Loperfido, I like over 1,100 this spring. And I know you don't want to get too wrapped up in it. You know, remember Justin Dearden last year, yes, that, you know, he had that great spring and then it didn't really amount to much. He didn't have a very good year in the minors either. So you don't want to make too much of it. But what I like about Loperfido, you know, and they talked about this with him, is he's got really good power to the gaps. You know, he's not a guy that's just a complete pull hitter as a left-handed hitter. I watched a bunch of highlights of his home runs, and they're at left center and right center, just, you know, hitting bombs. So I love that, you know, maybe he's a guy that he can kind of go with the pitch a little bit more. If they decide to pitch him outside, that's fine. You know, he'll just slap it that way and go to left center. I think that can help a lot because we saw Kyle Tucker get really pull heavy last year and he really struggled in the postseason trying to deal with that and deal with how pitchers were treating him, knowing his tendency. So I think with Loperfido, maybe that's a good thing that he doesn't have to have a certain pitch. He can go wherever it is in the strike zone. I will say this, in Minute Maid Park, that doesn't play to his strength so much, where we know the left center is really deep, right center is pretty deep. You know, it's down the lines in Minute Maid Park where you can kind of really get away with some cheapy home runs. But hey, if they're in the gaps and that can lead you to a lot of doubles, and that's something we've seen from Loperfido this spring. He's hit a lot of doubles. I think he had 6 or 7 doubles. So impressive. You're getting on base, you're driving guys in. Awesome. But at least it's nice to see that we have somebody in the system that maybe can come up and make an impact for you.
He is also, he knows his way around a kitchen, made paella for the team. Are you a paella guy? Are you a fan of the paella?
It sounds delicious, but I've never actually tried it. 5 doubles here. I pulled it up 5 on the doubles, stats for him, but I've never had the paella, but it sounds like he could cook a little bit.
Yeah. Well, hopefully with the bat, that's where they need it the most. From my years of going to Minute Maid, they have that handled in the kitchen. I think they need him to bring his bat to the yard. The last person who I want to mention as a wild card here is Dana Brown. And I know that's kind of obvious. You're like, oh, Dana, of course he's a wild card, but he's a wild card because I don't really know. He says things that kind of catch me off guard. He recently said something about Jordan Montgomery that got my attention. Josh, help me out here. I'm sure you have the quote in front of you.
I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but I'll paraphrase. He said that they're not expecting to be active right now, bringing in any free agent pitchers, starting pitchers, basically because he said he didn't think whoever was left on the market was much of an improvement over the depth guys they have.
Right.
Where I'm like, okay, if you're talking about Michael Lorenzen, yeah, his ERA was over 5.5 when he joined the Phillies after he was traded. So sure, if you don't 5.5 ERA, our depth guys, they may be able to do that. But with Jordan Montgomery, I'm like, are we forgetting he's out there on the market? You would think the Astros would remember him pretty well, since in the ALCS against them, he pitched in three different games, pitched 14 innings, had two wins, only had two earned runs and 10 strikeouts. His postseason ERA for his career, 2.63, career ERA, 3.68. So the fact that they lumped him in a completely different category than Blake Snell didn't make a lot of sense to me. Snell, 3.33 postseason ERA, which is good. Career ERA, 3.20, really good, but not significantly better than Jordan Montgomery, and especially Montgomery's, how good he was against the Astros in the postseason. He'd be a guy I'm interested in, but maybe Dana Brown's kind of getting at that this guy is out of our price range, so he's not even in consideration. So maybe that's more what his comments were based on. But saying that your fringe guys are better than Jordan Montgomery is just completely false.
Yeah, I just kind of go through the exercise. Would you rather have Jordan Montgomery over JP France? Would you rather have Jordan Montgomery even over like a guy like Jose Urquidy? Would you rather have Jordan Montgomery over Belak or Hunter Brown? You could run down the list. Obviously, you'd rather have Hunter Brown for the upside because he's, you know, young and you don't really know what's there that's untapped. But at this point in time, gun to your head, which hopefully doesn't come down to that, but gun to your head, would you rather have Montgomery or Brown? It's going to be Montgomery all day.
All day. I mean, look what he did in the postseason. He was amazing. Yeah. Pitching in three games just to seal that series. I mean, that's some big stuff, man. He's only 31 years old, 6'6", about almost 230 pounds. So he doesn't have to work too hard, you know, to fire it in there.
Right. And this is not me saying they should overpay for him. And quite frankly, to go back to our previous conversation, I'm glad they didn't overpay for Snell. I was hopeful that you add Snell because he's a good arm, but you don't want to shorten the window even further or hamstring yourself from making other moves, because Dana Brown's a wild carder because he could make in-season trades. You know, it doesn't have to be about free agency. So we'll have to see how that plays out. That's going to be it for Stone Cold Strohs. Charlie's back on Monday as we count down to opening day. So we hope you join us. Make sure you're following the channel to get all that content. Until next time, go Strohs.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.